and welcome to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, James Dean Mixes, and with me here today in a TCAP, I don't know what it stands for, the lovely DK Mixes.
Oh, I have a hat with a big embroidered letter T on it. This is for the school. This is my son's elementary school.
Oh.
The Tigers.
Nice.
El Tigre.
Nice. El Tigre.
Dude, it's so funny. I don't have a single bit of memorabilia from my college, like not a single thing, my university, but I have a hat from my son's elementary school.
Do you have anything from your high school?
I have a Letterman's jacket. That's about it, though.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's where I peaked, so I keep a lot of memorabilia.
good.
No, it's my parents are like, they are very super supportive of like the sports scene around there and stuff. So they'll like every year get like fundraiser stuff from my high school still to support like the cheer team and the football team. And
nice.
So like we still have like a lot of Jordan High School merch in the house.
Nice, dude. Well, good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm really proud of my son's school. I think they're doing a really great job. The best thing right now is, dude, he has my son. He has a teacher that this is like her first full year as like a full-time teacher, as the main teacher, not adjunct.
Yeah.
And she is just so passionate about teaching. Like you can tell she's got that first year energy, and man, she's the best. I really think that they've got a good school for them.
That's good to have. Yeah. Awesome. I love excited teachers. Before the world makes them all jaded, it's nice to have them fresh.
Yeah, I am very, this is a whole tangent, but I am very anti-tenure for teachers. I think if school education, if education system needs a reform, I think that the teachers, this is a whole tangent. I'm so sorry. But I do think I'm not necessarily against guilds or what is it called?
Unions.
I'm not against unions, but I think that the teachers union is significantly overpowered. I agree that teachers should be paid more, but I think it should be 100% based on ability. I think they should be tested like they test the students, and I don't think you should be tenured.
Yeah, no, tenured's unchecked power, and I don't like unchecked power. And if they do a reform, they should allow hats, because that is a very dumb rule.
Teachers aren't allowed to wear hats?
Like schools, like you can't wear hats to school.
Interesting. Is this like that's not a federal thing. That must be like per district.
I thought it was like a common thing. Is that not a common thing?
No,
that like
I wore hats in school.
Like, really? That is crazy. That was like a huge thing. Like you can't wear a hat, like a beanie or a cap or anything. Like you would get dress coded.
Really? Well, you also went to a Mormon high school, so.
Well, like my shoulders were covered. And I'm not a woman, so like they're not going to enforce any dress code stuff on me. Like,
dude,
I don't know.
You're not looking enough like an Old Testament prophet.
Yeah, I guess. No, but like I could have sworn I swear that's a common thing that like people can't wear hats to school.
Maybe it's recent. I don't know. You're also younger than me, so. But I don't remember that being a rule at all. This is something we could Google. But anyway, ask the question while I Google the answer for this.
The topic for today. The topic is, I know DK and Braden talked about this a while ago, but it's something that I bet DK has some updated thoughts on and that I've been thinking about lately. And we wanted to talk about common mixing mistakes that we hear. These could be from rookie mistakes and mixes up to sometimes professional mistakes that are heard. Some context for why I've been thinking about this is I'm mixing an album right now for a client, and it's in the rock genre. And she gave me the rough mix. At least I was told it was the rough mix that the producer gave. And she wanted me to test me out and see if, like, you know, I could mix and stuff. And so I did. And it was a lot, like, way better than the reference mix. And she called me later on the phone and stuff. And she told me that the rough mix was actually, she paid for someone to mix it and paid for someone else to master that song. So that was the full-on mix and master song, and it sounded very, very unprofessional. And so I just think it's like an interesting, it was like, I was like, because even for like a reference mix, I didn't think it like sounded like a good reference mix, rough mix.
Sucks.
Yeah, no, like it was, I was like,
did she talk about how much she paid for the songs?
No, I was curious to ask, but I didn't know if that was appropriate to bring up.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Solid, good pushback there.
Yeah. Luckily though, it was a good opportunity because she like now like really trusts my mix and we have a good relationship going now. But yeah, it was crazy. And from she didn't say who mixed it, but from how she talked about it, it's like a guy that does it full time and like a full on professional. So it was just interesting. I usually don't like listen to a mix and go like, oh, this is a bad mix or things like that. But that was one where I genuinely was like, oh, this is not that good of a mix. It sounds kind of bad.
Interesting. And that's yeah. We need to be careful with that sort of stuff too. Cause like, that is a slippery slope in general. Like,
yeah.
Cause of course, like the point is that emotionally speaking, you both got to the point where you thought your mix was significantly better. There's no, yeah. There's really no such thing as a significantly better mix, you know, but yeah. I mean, the point is you got to the, I think the most important part is you got her to a point, the client to the point where they have significantly more trust in you
yes.
than they did with the other person to the point where she felt like it was a better mix. It's too subjective. Yeah. Like, so that's like, I think that's the biggest takeaway.
Okay. That's a good thing that's a good thing to call out. I should backtrack and say. I guess it didn't suck and stuff. And there could have been more context.
Well, I mean, it's okay if you thought it sucked. But I do think that it's not, I don't know. I need to be careful with this because I've done this a lot. I will probably continue to do this a lot. But now that I'm hearing you talking about it, I think it's important to bring up, like, there's something about building confidence with the client by stepping on the work of previous people. There's something that feels wrong about
that's
that.
That's a good way. No, I agree with that. That's
so
the way
it's like
put it.
Building trust by saying somebody else sucks is that's something that feels wrong.
I don't like lifting up by putting down. I was just emphasizing that it was a surprising. It was surprising to know that that's like that was a full on paid for mix and master.
And I think it's also fair to say that like I'll say openly publicly on this episode, like you're not a dick. So I know you didn't mean that
like
in
asshole.
A dickish way. Yeah, you didn't mean that in a dickish way. You were just trying to say like I did a significantly better job. But
yeah.
Did it just sound like it wasn't cared for before? Like they just didn't care about it?
I'll have to send it to you after this or like maybe like sometime when we're hanging out, I'll show you.
Yeah, now I'm just
curious. It's hard to describe. It's just like, I don't even know how to put it. Well, it'll be some of the things that are off of are some of the points that I will be talking about with it. With like common mix mistakes.
By the way, this is a great example of that because I sent you two mixes this last week of the same song.
Oh yeah,
yeah. This is a great example. I never told you which one was mine, huh?
Yeah, no, you didn't.
Which one do you think was mine?
Well, I was able to tell which one was yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the second one, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
And I remember telling you the point was I asked you without like, I'm not going to tell you which one's mine, but I want you to know I want to know which one you preferred. In my mind, this is a really good test because in my mind, I thought mine was significantly better. There's some weak bits. Like I thought the guitars were weaker in mine. I like the low end in mine actually a little bit more, but I did notice that it was significantly less. But there's like some things that I thought were better in the other mix, but overall, I thought it was unequivocally better, like way better. And then you was like, the second mix is good, but I prefer the first mix.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the first example that I thought of when you brought that up. So it's like, is a mix actually better? Who, I don't fucking know.
Yeah. No, so, it is. I will say though, on that mix, I think I said it when I texted you too. The one that you did on like a purely as a mix technical level is it was superior, like in every way. But just in terms of like the vibe and my casual listening, because I just listened to them when I was cooking.
Well, you don't have to be defensive. You know, I don't care.
No, I'm just explaining. It was just more of the vibe. it was just more of the vibe. I was just like, this one just has the vibe more.
Yeah, the reason why I bring it up is because like I do think like. Coming back to what you were talking about, like making mix mistakes and mixes that are significantly better. Like I was completely convinced that mine was way better and that if I sent it to anyone in the world, everybody would be like, this one is significantly better. But to my surprise, and this was the good lesson, the good point, is even the one that I was 100% all in, all money in, you know, all on red there, all on red. And you're like, I prefer the first one. And
yeah,
it's just really interesting that that happens sometimes. And yeah, that's okay. And that's totally okay.
Yeah, and it could have just been that moment in time too. Like, I could hear it on a different system.
And if you were, well, if you were the client, it would have been everything, right? Like, that's if you were true. The customer. So now we're like, this is, now we can talk about how you can make mix mistakes and the reason why, like, mixes, like, doing feedback and like practicing mixing without a client pushback is mm-hmm. not the same, because practicing mixing in a void, we talked about this, like practicing mixing in a void yeah. is kind of worthless. It's especially important to practice mixing with client feedback, because if, I mean, I do the same thing with you. If I give you mixes, I will let you ask me questions about what I want as the customer that I'm pretending to be, you know?
Yeah, that was really good feedback.
And we'll
feedback.
Set like an expectation, and then I'll be straight up. It's like, okay, I like this more, but it's too different, you know? And I'll kind of say yeah. something that the customer would like. In this case, it was really interesting because you weren't the customer. You were just a listener. There was
yeah,
no,
I was just a listener.
There was no pretext. There was no expectation. You didn't know the story or the lore behind it. You were just the listener, which is interesting. But if you were the client where you wrote the song and you knew the story behind it and the work behind it, and mm-hmm. maybe you didn't like the first mix because of probably something that the engineer did. It's typically not the sound of the mix. It's typically because the engineer was slow to reply. Like, it wasn't very receptive to feedback. It's just kind of yeah. an asshole. He's obviously just not interested in this song. Those are the type of things that could makes be, yeah. someone think that the mix is bad. It's not the yeah. actual tone. Yeah. And
I could give the, oh, sorry, keep going.
Yeah, go ahead. You can give the what?
I was just going to say, I could do the first point that I've been thinking of with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. So this episode is about mix mistakes. And we're kind of yeah, revisiting
very,
this topic.
I'm very curious what your thoughts are on this. But for me, the only way I know how to word it or to put it, and it's feedback that I've gotten from one of my old mixes from Damian Taylor. He was giving some feedback for like a little mixing group, is a sense of positioning of the instruments. So the main thing he pointed out, it was like a piano ballad, like a piano ballad song, and it had some percussion in it. And he said that, and I what I did when I mixed it is I did a big stereo spread and I put a lot of reverb on the piano and stuff like that. And he said, like, the main thing that was wrong with it was that it almost, the piano almost just felt like a wall of a piano. Like, there wasn't a sense of where the piano is. And so sometimes I tend to not like a mix, it is when everything almost sounds like a wall of sound and there's not like a particular position of where things are. Like the guitar, there's not like, oh, the guitar is here and the vocals here and that, where it all just kind of sounds like a blur of noise. That makes sense at all?
Yeah, this is especially interesting because if I'm not mistaken, Damian Taylor is mixes, but he's mostly like a producer and songwriter, right?
He when I talked to him, he said it's like 70% mixing, 30% production. He used to do a lot more production though for like Bjork.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like
yeah.
that style of music.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, no,
yeah,
I
what do you think of that?
I do think that like immediately that sort of feedback, because if is interesting, because from my perspective, that is the job of the producer. That's not something that you typically touch. Like if you have the stereo with, depending, like if I'm taking more of a producer role, but like if I'm getting stems from a label that are like pretty well thought out, very well produced, they spent a lot of money on the production, I'm not really messing with too much width and place, especially like basic placement of instruments. Yeah. So it's like, when I heard that, it's like, oh, this guy must be a producer. It's the first thing that I thought of.
Really?
Because that's
yeah,
not...
Yeah, well, yeah, he does yeah. produce too. But yeah, yeah, I think, I guess the way to put it is like his, so, and this is something that with the mix I was talking about earlier, it's like almost the guitars felt like a wall of guitars instead of here are the guitars. I don't know if he did some kind of like a bunch of stereo widening on it or just like compressed them like crazy or something. But it didn't sound like you were in a space with guitars. It just sounded like guitars were being played. That makes sense.
And that was better for the song?
No, that wasn't. Like, that was, for me, I feel like it just, it it made the track not sound as like professional.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, there's so much context that we're missing here.
Yeah.
Let me try to break it down into a significantly more macro perspective. Is panning a common mistake of young mixers? Let's break it down to that level. Is that fair?
I think that's fair. Would you put widening, like using a widening plugin in that or no?
Sure. Let's just talk about space in general.
Yeah, because my mistake with the piano on that feedback that Damien Taylor gave me was that it was like too spread. And I did put like a lot phase-y. Of widener on it.
Okay. Yeah. It's pretty obvious when you put too much widener on things.
Yeah. So as a young mixer, I was just like, well, this is so cool because it sounds so big and wide.
Yeah.
Where because of that, I sacrificed it actually sounding like a piano.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I have had a few, like there was one client where I had to, I don't remember. Was it mastering? I had to master an album and he wanted to mix it. He produced it. He's a relatively successful artist now. And, but at that time, like, I think he was just experimenting with wideners, kind of going through what you were going through. And he put a widener on the entire track, on every single track. So I just like had to, and it was like really out of phase and it sounded really weird. Yeah. And so, most of my mastering was making things back into phase, like centering a lot of the frequencies again.
Yeah. So, and something I think, there's a way to do it right, but I have heard sometimes of people doing a bit of a widener on the mix bus, which could very easily give that same sense of like smearing.
Yeah,
the sound.
That's very like Jason Joshua does famously do that, but like out of 100 points, like on the Isotope Imager, first off, he only does it from like 1K and up. So the upper frequencies. And then also he only does it like 4% out of 100.
And so, he knows what he's doing when he does it. He's not just widening to go wide. Like, he knows his stuff.
So I
feel like that's a common mistake, is like it makes it almost a smear versus just making it wide.
Yeah. Sure. I think so. Yeah, okay. If that's the case, then that is an engineering thing. If it's too wide, I thought it was just more like placement of it. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah, I feel like I poorly worded it at the beginning. But yeah, it's more of when you do that, it gives a lack of like feeling like there's placement for things. But yeah, that was just kind of my first thing. That's like been one that I've been thinking of, because I heard it in that mix and I've heard it in some kind of other mixes too. It was like, it like clicked of like, oh yeah, that's kind of why I haven't been liking these mixes.
There's also the idea of like widening. There's a tool. It's the good thing about widening is that the more things you pan and widen, the less things clog up the center. Right.
Yeah.
So like when you're playing basketball, you don't want and you're trying to like put in a layup. You don't want everybody to be in the middle. You're clouding up the runway. You know, it's too crowded. You're crowding the runway. So if everybody spreads out, it leaves space. All the defenders follow the offensive team as they go out to the 3-point line. And then it leaves space in the middle for the person to do a layup or something like that. Right. So, in the same way, like if you use wideners, if you pan things correctly, you're making space. But this is one of the reasons the double-edged sword of that is that if you're using panning and widening correctly, and even if it's really wide or whatever, it feels good. I always recommend checking a mix in mono, not taking it too seriously, but like making sure that once you check a mix in mono, there's no left and right access. Mm-hmm. Like you're removing an entire axis of the music field, and it's forcing you to now think about frequencies and volumes. Like you can't hide and separate things with panning. So I do think that that's a useful tool to consider, is checking a mix briefly, not too long, in mono, making sure that things still feel kind of separate. Not because you need mono, not because you need some sort of compatibility thing with a club or the AM radio or some bullshit. It's mostly just to make sure that you're not over relying on width to create clarity.
Yeah. Well, sweet. Yeah, I guess that's my first point. Did you have anything come to mind when you're thinking of common mixing mistakes?
For me, I think like the other list, was there something on my previous list that you disagreed with? I'm trying to think.
I do not remember.
I think,
I,
Yeah.
I probably should listen to that right before this.
I think it's like the most common mistake. It's like, it's so obvious when people don't reference. I think that's like, I brought that up first and I will always bring that up. What is the most common mixing mistake? It's like, bruh, you're a fucking alien that visited Earth and you didn't listen to any music and you tried to mix this. It's like, it doesn't sound anything like anything on Spotify. It's way too dark. It's way too bright. It's way too hollow. Yeah. The mid range is way too scoop. Why are the drums so damn quiet? It's just like, it's not even remotely similar to anything out. And that's when it's like really obvious that you didn't reference. And at the beginning, I think later as you kind of go to the more advanced stage, it's less important, but even then people still reference all the time, engineers at a higher caliber. But at the beginning, that's like the easiest thing that can make a mix suck. It's so obvious. It's not top end. It's not mid range. It's not bottom end. It's everything combined. It's like, it's just, why is this so dark? Why is this too bright? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Yeah. Another point, I think you were there for this discussion. We were talking to Gerhard and Connor. I asked them just about common mistakes they get because they're mastering engineers. Gerhard said a very common one is people will sometimes send in mixes too hot, which I guess he means like too much on the limiter, too much on the master bus compression.
Yeah, that is the bane of every mastering engineer's existence.
Yeah, and then...
to that, you know what my response to that is?
What?
To a certain degree, I say that the mastering engineer just needs to deal with it. To a certain degree, I'm dead serious. I'm not saying that that they're wrong. I'm just saying that like... If I'm mixing and I mix into a limiter, or if someone mixes into a limiter and then you have them take off the limiter for the mastering engineer, that's fucked up. Now you're asking me to change the tone of my sound. Like most people aren't mixing into a limiter, right? So I can leave the limiter off. In my case, that's totally okay. But if that is part of your sound, like if you're the type of person that's mixing into a limiter, don't fucking take that thing off just because your mastering engineer wants you to. Just make sure that you don't mix as hot. Like
But, yeah, make sure it still sounds normal. You're not just squishing.
What was the other thing that?
This was from Connor, and we kind of briefly brought up last episode with autotune, but it's like a general thing. Is he said pops, just pops and like crackles, throughout mixes. So that's something that I've just become like super conscious of. He said like many times it comes from the autotune, but sometimes like they'll just forget to like take out a pop, or like things like that. He said that when he was assisting for, I forgot, some big mastering engineer, like his main job was to open like Isotope RX or whatever and go through and take out all the pops.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so that's become something that I've been like very conscious of since we talked about it. Almost in a sense, like looking for anything that could like be a pop or could end up doing that, like when I get like to the master bus and stuff like that.
Yeah, like just general quality control.
Yeah. It's just like, it's a simple, like just, it's like one of those things that's like, it's so simple. Just like if you chop audio, make sure you fade, just stuff like that.
Yeah, I do think that that's more of the recording engineer's job. Like if there's a lot of like, if you're a good recording engineer, will be doing all the fades and all the edits as they're recording before it gets to the mixer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the mix assistant's job. It's not the mixer's job. It is the recording engineer and the producer's job. But most of the time, it ends up landing in our pockets.
Yeah.
Landing in our hands, which is unfortunate.
And the next point, this is the last one. There could be a whole episode on this. But I feel like it's a fairly common one. I've even heard on some like kind of more professional mixes is... It's almost the vocals sound like they're in a different space than the instruments. Like it's not glued together.
Lack of glue, lack of cohesion.
Yeah, lack of glue. Like if I were to just listen to the instruments of the song, they sound great. If I were to just listen to vocals, they sound great, but they don't sound like they're in the same space. That's been a fairly common one that at least I've been noticing. In some mixes, is like it doesn't sound like a lack of glue. Like it doesn't sound like they're all kind of connected together.
Interesting. I don't find that to be super common. Like it's a basic mistake, But typically that sound comes from a lot of other mistakes, like usually like a leveling issue to begin with. Like, I think that would be more based on like leveling, just like general balance, lack of automation. I think that leads to the sound of, I think the lack of glue, the lack of cohesion is a symptom of the problem. And the problem is probably volume automation, too much compression, too little compression, lack of saturation, lack of, there's so many other things, but that's just a symptom, I feel like.
Yeah. Of something bigger, or sometimes even, this happened to me a few times where I'd be mixing, like, man, I just can't get these to sound like the same space. And like, it goes almost in the automation realm of like just turning down the vocals, like 1 or 2 dB. And then suddenly it like just sits really good in the mix.
Again, the simple solution to that is just reference. Just reference a song that's well mixed. That's all it takes. That's literally all it takes. And you know what direction to go in.
Oh, yeah. Because it's crazy how on my last Cali's, the vocals would sound like they're a lot quieter. It's probably just like a mid-range thing that the Cali's have going on. But then anything else that I listen to, it, like the vocals would be a lot more forward if I listened to it on any other system. So I had to kind of train myself to understand how, where the vocal level sits on those monitors to know how they'll translate to everything else.
Yeah. So as long as like your reference have some sort of stable outside perspective. Yeah, it's usually pretty obvious.
Yeah. Anyways, those are, I guess, my main things. It's just been something I'm thinking about. You could hear from like DK and I talking about it. I guess we have like, you know, little different opinions on like what makes a good or a bad mix or things like that. But yeah, those have just been things that I guess I've been realizing lately.
Yeah. I think the most common on it, honestly speaking, like in reflection here, and especially countering what we brought up earlier, like what is a good mix? I think the biggest mix mistakes have nothing to do with the mixing. I think it has like not editing correctly. It's not naming the files correctly, sending things out at the wrong time, like way too late, not communicating with clients, losing trust with the client. Yeah. These are simple mistakes. Like you promised you'd give a revision tomorrow, but now it's been a week. Like, or you didn't talk about money beforehand. Those are the most common mistakes, which lead to whether or not someone likes your mix. And again, I think sound is significantly less important than those things. Trust is the most difficult thing to overcome. So
weird phasiness is a lot less likely to get you fired than turning in something late or just not communicating.
Exactly. Like if they really trust you, and this is like the one time that you did something really weird, they're going to forgive you. You know, they're going to be like, oh, can you just, it's just a revision. But no revision can ever rebuild trust if you never had it.
Yeah.
But you earn revision. Like it's, I think that's a better way to frame revisions. Like you earn revisions if you built trust the first time.
Yeah.
You don't get to, if they didn't like you, they never trusted you. And there's no amount of revisions that could ever make them all of a sudden start trusting you if they never had it before V1.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the most, I think, as far as like, to a career. I know people hate talking about that sort of stuff, but those are the most basic mix mistakes. It's not about levels, compression, or tuning. Oh, lastly, I think like vocal tuning. Like, why the fuck are you not tuning your vocals?
That's a big thing that...
Like, there's very few things that I generalize to this level, but this is one of those things that I will generalize. If your vocals are not perfectly in tune, you're fucking stupid. Like, it's not good. Don't release it. Like, they should be tuned to perfection. And perfection varies. Like some warble a little bit more, but they should be perfect. No, you should never, ever, ever allow vocals to not be perfect. And again, that is the job of the producer or the recording engineer. That is not the job of the mixer. And if I have to do it, like your team sucks. Like, and I will do it because I'm the GOAT, but like, it's like, I think that's another thing. Why would you allow vocals to be anything less than perfect?
Yeah. It just makes it sound like so much less. Even tonally, like how to describe it? There's someone that like I got feedback and like she said like, oh yeah, like the vocals, cause she didn't want tuning at first, but then I did the tunings and she was like, is there a way to like change, like take off the tuning, but keep the tone that you had? And I was just kind of like, no, the tone is like what comes from having like perfectly tuned vocals.
Yeah.
Like it's like a weird, again, it like sonically affects everything.
And again, like there's a lot of varying in the word perfect. Like perfect doesn't mean completely centered, no vibrato. It means none of it is distracting. So if you have a nice long swoop, you can maintain that swoop. It doesn't have to be centered glitchy. But what I'm saying is it's got to be clean and it can't be distracting. And way too many people that have their heads way too far up their asses. Like, it's just like, I don't understand why people allow that stuff to fall through, or like why they think like, this is part of my art. Bitch, no, it's not part of your art. You suck. And we can all tell. Like, you can make it sound perfect without making it sound unnatural. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to make it sound unnatural. You have to make it sound perfect naturally.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing takes you out of the mix more than like a note that just pops way out of key, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Just like little things like that. Like even just grabbing the notes that do that and bringing them in tune makes a huge difference on its own.
Yeah. It's way, way better. I think that's like the most common mistakes. I don't know why. And I think that honestly speaking, it is a skill-based thing. That's one of the few things that like, if you don't have a good ear, I don't think most people can hear like some of the, in a run, some of the in-between notes are out of tune. I don't think most people can hear that stuff. Or like when something's barely flat, I don't think most people can hear that stuff. So I do think that if you're going to hire someone to do it, like that is something that would, you should hire out no matter who you are, the artist, producer, the engineer. If you can't hear that shit, I think you should just be open about it. And you should just hire someone out. Cause it's very obvious to some of us, even the ones that some of us that aren't as musical, like it's very obvious.
Yeah.
And some people just don't have that gene.
They have inferior genes.
Like I would recommend handing it off to someone who is hypersensitive to that stuff. And this is one of the things, because I am a vocalist that is hypersensitive to that stuff. Like this is one of the things that I'm really proud of. Like people, a lot of clients like will hand me stuff because they know that I'm also quality controlling the vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Nice.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, that's a good last one. No, that's a great last one to wrap it up. Thank you guys for listening. Yeah, so these are our, like mixing mistakes. You know, it's like a thing too. Like DK said at the beginning, it could be a slippery slope to be super judgy of people's mixes. But it's also
we're doing this for the educational content. This is
Educational. I'm not saying this to talk shit on people's like mixes or like things like that. It's just it's something to help us learn and to become better mixers and engineers overall. But thank you for listening. Feel free to go check out the mixingmusicpodcast.com. And without further ado, DK, sign us off.
Happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy. If you can't get enough of the Mixing Music Podcast and want 3 times the amount of episodes every week, subscribe to our exclusive content for only $4 a month or $40 a year at mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show.